Thank you, Pastor.
Bless
I appreciate
you.
It. Good evening. It's a real joy to speak in English again. It's been a while. My wife's name is Eunice, and my name is Basilio Alfaro. I was saved when I was 9 years old. I'm 74 years young, so I just want you to know that I was saved when I was 9 years old. I've been saved 64 years. Tengo 64 años siendo cristiano. Fui salvo los 9 años de edad. And I never will repent in accepting Christ as my Savior. He transformed my life. There are 65 million Hispanics in the United States. My wife and I are missionaries to the Hispanic world. This year we'll be traveling to Bolivia, Honduras, Colombia, Mexico, and I can't remember any other countries right now, but and to North America to preach to the Hispanic world. It's amazing what God is doing in the Hispanic world. Let me just take a couple of minutes, Pastor, to let them know what we're doing. It's unbelievable what God is doing in the Hispanic world. Like in Mexico, this is an old number. Ese es un número viejo, lo que Dios está haciendo in Mexico. Every 4 days. Now, this is an old number. It could be more now. Every 4 days, a brand new Baptist church gets started in Mexico. The movement is phenomenal. People are getting saved every day. I'm excited to be in the movement. I have to pinch myself to be part of God's work. But hay cada 4 días una nueva iglesia bautista empieza en México. El movimiento es increíble. Dios está trabajando de una forma sobremanera grande. And so we're involved in the Hispanic work. My wife and I are going through 52 years of marriage. The 5th of December, we'll be married 52 years. And we're still on our honeymoon. And we're still rejoicing in what God has done in our lives and what we're doing for the Lord. Our biggest need is for you to pray for us. You know, prayer changes the direction of nations, of states, of cities, of churches, of families, of individuals. Religion can just reform people. Education will just inform people. Society will just conform people. But only God will transform people. And we need for you to pray for us. I brought some prayer cards. These prayer cards are 5 days old. They're brand new. And I'm not asking for money. But I'm asking for prayer. Because prayer makes a difference. Estoy pidiendo oración. If you want a prayer card, I have some right there. My wife has some. After the service, we'll pass them out. We have many of them. Our biggest need is for you to pray for us, and I would appreciate your prayers. I appreciate Pastor Waldrop, I know he's jealous of his pulpit, and he should be, and I'm thankful for his ministry, but to invite a guy like me, I thank you, Pastor, for your vote of confidence, but we love you, and I want to thank the church personally for opening your doors to the Hispanic world. Only God knows how much He's going to bless you, because if we don't reach them, the cults are going to reach them. Unsaved people are going to reach them. And the Lord has brought the mission field to us now. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to evangelize them and reach them for Christ, or are we just going to let them die and go to a Christless eternity? It's up to us. Christ has brought the mission field to our doorstep.
Yes,
you know, when hermanos, voy a predicar, I'm going to preach bilingually. I wanted to speak a little bit in English because I got to get going in English. It's been a while since I got cranked up to preach in English, and I want you to kind of put up with me. But when you study the Word of God, cuando estudias la palabra de Dios, it's not man's book. It's God's book. It's not the church's book. It's God's book. La Biblia no es el libro del hombre, es el libro de Dios. No es el libro de la iglesia, es el libro de Dios. Es God's voice. It's His vision. It's His heart. Es la visión, el corazón de Dios. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament, 39 libros en el Antiguo Testamento, 27 en el Nuevo. Over 1600 years, over 40 authors, over 40 writers, one author, his name, the Holy Spirit of God. There's no contradictions in the Bible. Isaiah never knew the Apostle Paul. Ezekiel never knew the Apostle Peter, but they speak about the same Lord. El apóstol Pablo nunca conoció a Isaías y Jeremías nunca conoció a Lucas, pero hablan del mismo Señor. Anywhere you open the scriptures, it talks about the Lord. You go to the book of Genesis, He's the creator. The book of Exodus, He's the redeemer. And everywhere you open the scriptures, it talks about Jesus. You go to the book of Matthew, and He's the sovereign king. And you go to the book of Mark, He's a suffering servant. You go to the book of Luke, He's the perfect Son of Man. You go to the book of John, He's 100% God, 100% man. Y no importa donde hables la Biblia, habla de Cristo. El libro de Mateo, Él es el Rey Soberano. El libro de Marcos, el siervo que sufre. El libro de Lucas, el hombre perfecto. El libro de Juan, 100% hombre y 100% Dios. No one like Jesus. He's unique. You know, when I took English in college, I learned a lot from my English teacher, because when I would turn in my papers, she would grade my papers, and it seemed like she painted it with red, corrected everything. But I learned English, and it's quite interesting that English is a wonderful language, and so is Spanish. And I'm just fortunate enough to preach both languages. And I'm thankful that I can share the gospel. But it's quite interesting that when we become students, es interesante cuando nos convertimos alumnos de la palabra de Dios, it takes on a special flavor. Toma un sabor sabroso. The Word of God becomes part of our lives. It begins to illuminate our hearts. Empieza a iluminar nuestros corazones. It becomes a lamp unto our feet. It gives us wisdom. It gives us direction. It gives us purpose in life. Y la palabra de Dios nos da iluminación, nos da dirección, y nos da propósito para nuestras vidas. And God wants to bless us. Y el Señor nos quiere bendecir. And God wants to prosper us. And God wants us just do some great things for His church. Y el Señor quiere hacer grandes cosas para su iglesia. If you lack wisdom, it says in the book of James, it says, ask God. You know, I can preach to you, I can counsel you, I can give you godly counsel, and I can preach to you and teach you, but what I can't give you, that I would like to give you, but what I can't give you, is wisdom. Te puedo predicar, te puedo enseñar, te puedo dar consejo bíblico, pero lo que no te puedo dar es sabiduría. And God wants to bless us. He says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And it says, that giveth to all men liberally. I like to use the word abundantly, because that's the word that's closer to the Greek word, abundantly. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, don't confuse wisdom with intelligence, because it's not the same thing. Don't confuse wisdom with knowledge, because it's not the same thing. Don't confuse wisdom with discernment, because it's not the same thing. Only God can give you wisdom. No confunde sabiduría con inteligencia, porque no es la misma cosa. No confunde sabiduría con conocimiento, porque no es la misma cosa. No confunde sabiduría con discernimiento, porque no es la misma cosa. Then what is wisdom? If wisdom is so important in the Christian life, what is wisdom? Si sabiduría es tan importante en la vida cristiana, ¿qué es entonces sabiduría? Wisdom is that ingredient that only God can give you, so you can understand so you can be able to discern and use the intelligence and the knowledge that God has given you. Inteligencia es ese ingrediente que solamente Dios te puede dar para que entiendas, para que sepas cómo ocupar y cómo usar el conocimiento y la inteligencia que Dios te dio. Some people are born intelligent. I never had that problem. Some people are born brilliantly and intelligently. But that's not wisdom. Some people are just born with certain gifts. And we all are born with at least one gift. And the reason why God gives us gifts is to, the gift that God gives us is to be used to edify the church. That's why he gives us gifts. Y Dios nos da dones para edificar la iglesia. No para hacerte rico, no para alabar, lavarte. Es para edificar la iglesia. But God wants to bless us abundantly. There's not a problem that comes into our lives that God won't give us the wisdom to solve the problem. Regardless of what it is, intellectually, mentally, socially, physically, it doesn't make a difference what the problem is. God will give you the wisdom. He'll equip you to solve the problem. No importa qué sea el problema, sea psicológico, mental, espiritual, financiero. Dios te puede dar la sabiduría para poder resolver el problema que tenemos. And the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But if you're going to ask of God, you need to ask believing him. Because if you don't believe him, he's not going to do anything for us. But God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us abundantly. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 3. And actually, it's Genesis chapter 15. I'm thinking in Spanish. It's Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. When God told Abram, and your reward, and he uses the word exceedingly. It doesn't say your reward will be great. It says your reward will be exceedingly great. In other words, what God was telling Abraham, you can't even imagine how high I can lift you up if you will just trust me. If you will just believe me. If you will just love me. If you will just serve me. It will never be indwelled in you how high I can bless you and lift you up. I want to bless you exceedingly. And that's how God wants to bless us. Not only abundantly, he wants to bless us exceedingly. No nada más Dios nos quiere bendecir abundantemente. Nos quiere bendecir sobremanera grande. La palabra exceedingly en español es sobremanera grande. No nada más nos quiere bendecir grandemente. Dice que nos quiere bendecir sobremanera grande. And then it says in the book of Malachi, en el libro de Malaquías, dice que él abrirá las ventanas del cielo y nos bendecirá en tal forma que sobreabunde. In the book of Malachi, the key word there in that whole verse 10, it says, prove me. Yes. Don't be afraid to prove God. Right. He's faithful. Whether we're faithful or not, he's faithful. Yes. He says, prove me that I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that ye shall not be able to receive all of it. Amen. In other words, there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, folks, I just got through sharing with you three verses. Acabo de compartir con ustedes tres versículos that God wants to bless us. How does he want to bless us? Abundantly, exceedingly. And he wants to bless us. There shall not be enough room to receive it. Te ha compartido tres versículos como Dios nos quiere bendecir. Abundantemente, sobremanera grande, y sobreabunde. There's no doubt about it. God wants to bless us. My question is, then why doesn't God bless us the way he says he wants to bless us? Folks, God's not a liar. Dios no es un mentiroso. God is faithful and true. Dios es fiel y es verdadero. Then what's the problem? If you open your Bibles with me to Jeremiah chapter 9, Jeremías capítulo 9, we'll find out what the problem is. En Jeremías capítulo 9, encontramos qué es el problema. Jeremiah was known as a weeping prophet. Jeremías fue conocido como el profeta que lloraba. He didn't cry over Israel because they were blessed people, because they were blessed. And if you look at verse 9, God blessed Israel with wise people. God blessed Israel with mighty people. And God blessed people with rich people. That's what it says in verse 23. It says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. So we see three different groups of people that God had blessed Israel with. He blessed people with wisdom. He blessed people, mighty men. In other words, men of valor. And rich men. Y Dios había bendecido a Israel con sabiduría, hombres sabios, hombres valientes y hombres ricos. Now, there's nothing wrong with these things. I just got through saying, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God's not against men being wise. Dios no está contra que el hombre que sea sabio. God made the worlds with wisdom. God created the heavens with wisdom. Have you ever thought about it? God can't get any wiser. He's all wisdom. He can't get any. He's not more powerful today than he was yesterday. He won't be more powerful tomorrow. He's all power. We can't imagine how incredible is our God. No podemos imaginarnos qué increíble es nuestro Señor. No se puede ser más poderoso, ya es todo poder. No se puede ser más sabio, ya es toda sabiduría. And yet, He wants to walk with us. Y todavía quiere caminar con nosotros. And God had blessed Israel with wise men, men of valor, and rich men. But what happened to Israel can happen to any church in any country. And what happened, lo que pasó aquí, Dios bendijo a Israel con esos tres grupos, hombres sabios, hombres valientes y hombres ricos. But what happened was, they forgot the Lord. Se olvidaron de Dios. Se olvidaron de Dios. Look, if for some reason God in His infinite mercy has blessed you to be a wise person, thank the Lord that you're a wise person. But you should not rejoice in the fact that you're a wise person. Thank the Lord that you're a wise person. But don't rejoice in the fact that you are a wise person. Because God can take it away from you just as easy as He gave it to you. And men started trusting more in their wisdom than the God that gave them the wisdom. They forgot the Lord. Y Israel se olvidó del Dios que le había dado la sabiduría a ellos. Se olvidaron de Dios. Remember your Jewish history in 1 Samuel chapter 1 when Israel was fighting against the Philistines. And they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the camp. And there was a great shout. In fact, it was so powerful of a shout that it scared to death the Philistines. Because they realized that the Ark of the Covenant had entered in to where the army was. And they were scared to death. But that day, Israel suffered one of the greatest defeats in their history. Why? They trusted more in the furniture than the God of the furniture.
Amen.
Folks, God has blessed us. But we need to trust the God who blessed us. Not just because we received the blessings. We need to praise the God who blessed us, who encourages us, who keeps us. And so if God has blessed you with wisdom, si Dios te ha bendecido con sabiduría, no debes regocijarte en el hecho que eres sabio. You should not rejoice in the fact that you're wise. You should thank the Lord that you're wise. And if for some reason God's given you the character to be a mighty person, a very influential person, a person of valor, thank God that you're a mighty person. But you should not rejoice in the fact that you're a mighty person.
Amen.
Praise God that He's the mighty God.
Amen.
Praise God that He's the mighty person that's behind you.
Amen.
That's using you. That's blessing you. And when we come to the rich man, cuando llegamos al hombre rico, mira, si Dios te ha bendecido ser un hombre valiente, no debes regocijarte en el hecho que eres valiente. Debes regocijarte en el Dios que te dio esa valentía. And when it comes to rich people, you know, a lot of people have a different idea of riches. There's nothing wrong with money. The problem has never been money. El dinero nunca ha sido el problema. Sometimes I hear young missionaries and young preachers misquote the Bible. I don't think they mean to misquote the Bible. But because they forget or because of studying, I don't know what the problem is. But sometimes they misquote the Bible and they say that in 1 Timothy 6:10, the Bible says that money is the root of all evil. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. We all need money. We pay rent. We pay mortgages. We buy food. We put gasoline. I mean, we all need money. And money is important. But it's not the most important thing in life. You either control money or the money will control you. Money is a good servant, but a bad master. You use it or it will use you. And if God for some reason has blessed you with earthly goods, you should not rejoice in the fact that you're a rich person. Because God can take it away from you just as easy as He gave it to you. Use those things that God has given you for the glory of God. You can't take it with you. Have you ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul? You can't take these earthly goods with you. ¿Has visto una carroza estirando un remolque porque te van a enterrar con tus muebles? No te puedes llevar tus muebles contigo, hermanos. And if God has blessed you with wisdom, with valor, with money, there's nothing wrong with it. But you should not rejoice in the fact that God has blessed you with these things. You should rejoice in the fact in the God that gave you these things. In Israel had forgotten their God, and God had blessed them with wisdom, with valor, and with riches. You know, folks, God has blessed our country. Because we had men in this country that feared God. And thank God there are still men in this country that fear God. Y Dios ha bendecido este país porque fue fundado sobre principios bíblicos. Y hay hombres que temen a Dios y todavía hay hombres que temen a Dios. There are not as many, but thank God there are still men that fear God. And we live in a great country. But she's gone down the drain morally and spiritually. But there's still hope if we would just plead with God. Yes. Tenemos un gran país, pero ese país se ha olvidado de Dios. And God is talking to Israel. I bless you with wisdom. I bless you with mighty men. I bless you with rich men. But look what he says in verse 24. Mira lo que dice en versículo 24. Mas alaba sea en esto el que se hubiere de alabar, en entenderme y conocerme que yo soy Jehová, que hago misericordia, juicio y justicia en la tierra, porque estas cosas quiero, dice Jehová. Verse 24. But let him that glorieth, glory in this. In other words, don't glory in wisdom. Don't glory in valor. Don't glory in riches. But he says, but let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And what things? There's two verbs here. That God said he delighteth in. And these are the two words I want to speak to you tonight, and we'll be finished, and we can go have some coffee. It says that he delights, he that understandeth and knoweth me. ¿Qué es lo que Dios desea? Dios desea que le conozcamos, o mejor dicho, Dios quiere que le entendamos y conozcamos. God wants us to understand him and know him. Now, what does it mean to understand God? ¿Qué quiere decir entender al Señor? When I was went to college and after a year or two, I mean, I had three jobs on campus. I had to work myself through college. College is not free; it costs money. Yo tuve tres trabajos cuando estuve en la universidad, and I wanted to play the piano. Every time I see people play the piano, I get envious because I always wanted to learn how to play the piano. And where I went to school, they offered you piano free. You just needed to buy the books. And I didn't have time to take piano because I had three jobs. I had to work myself through college. But after my third year there, they sat us alphabetically. Después de tres años en la escuela, conocí a la señorita que es mi esposa. And what attracted me to her was not her beauty. It wasn't her intelligence. She made straight A's in college, preacher, by the way. I graduated sliding in a home plate. In other words, I was called safe by the umpire, by the skin of my teeth. But she made straight A's in college. But it wasn't her intelligence that got my attention. It wasn't her beauty that got my attention. What got my attention was that she loved the Lord. Lo que me llamó la atención de la señora que es mi esposa no era su inteligencia, no era su hermosura, era que ella amaba a Dios. It caught my attention. And it still catches my attention. And I went to her father and I asked him permission if I could date his daughter. She didn't belong to me. She had parents. Ella no pertenecía a mí. Tenía padres. I never called her my sweetheart. I never said my sweetheart. No. She had parents. You have to respect them. Hay que respetarlos. And I went to her father and asked him permission if I could just date her just to get to know her. And he said, sure, it's not a problem. After a year or so, I went and asked him for the second permission. Le pedí permiso al papá de mi esposa para pretenderla, porque que quería conocerla mejor. Y milagrosamente me dio permiso. Después de un año, le pedí el segundo permiso. But this time, the second permission was that I wanted the second permission now that would lead us up to marriage. And miraculously, he gave me permission. Y milagrosamente, me dio permiso. He gave me the green light to go ahead, and now our conversation was more serious. Then, a year later, I asked him for the third permission. You know, in baseball, you punch out with three. Rather, you strike out with three. En el béisbol se poncha con tres. Y le pedí el tercer permiso. And I asked him, and the third permission, if I could marry his daughter. And he told me no. Y me dijo que no. But he told me so lovingly and so patiently. Y me lo dijo con tanta paciencia y tanto cariño that I asked him, explain to me the word no. He said, haven't they taught you there at the school what a one-syllable word means, no? I said, yes, I know what no means, but you told me so patiently, so lovingly. He said, let me put it this way to you. I'm going to give you permission to go and ask my daughter. If she says no, that tells me as her father, and it tells my wife, who is her mother, that the Lord, in His infinite wisdom, has another lady for you much better than her daughter. Look how wise this man was. But if she says yes, I want you to know that we're going to turn over to you a virgin, a woman that has studied all her life to serve the Lord and has given her life to serve the Lord, and treat her with respect, and treat her with courtesy, and treat her with love. I learned more in 15 minutes than I did 4 years of college. Aprendí después de hablar con él y me dijo cómo debo tratar a su hija. Aprendí más en 15 minutos que 4 años de estudios universitarios. But the first year and the second year, as we dated and talked, let's use this word that uses here in the Bible, understand and knoweth me. As I began to talk with her, and she explained to me why she thought that way and why she acted that way. Y cuando me empezó a explicar por qué pensaba así y por qué actuaba así y por qué vivía así and why she lived that way and why she thought that way and why she spoke that way, I began to what? Use this word here. Understand her. I began to understand why she thought that way. Why she dressed that way. Why she addressed me that way. How she respected me that way. Because I began to what? Understand her. And the reason why, sometimes when the pastor has to skin us, sometimes we get mad. I'll tell you why. Because we don't understand God's ways. When we're preached to that way, it's for our own good and our own benefit. But we just don't see it sometimes. But it is for our own benefit. But because we don't understand God's ways, we get offended. And how many people had come to this church and no longer come because they're offended? They're offended because they were told the truth. But they were told the truth in love. and they get offended. Why? They don't understand God's ways. Thank the Lord that you have a pastor that can get up with tears in his eyes and tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. He's not here to win a popularity contest. He's here to exposit and preach what God says. And you ought to thank God for that. Y el pastor viene, expone, y dice, y debe decir lo que dice la palabra de Dios. Y muchas veces cuando no entendemos y entendemos lo que dice el Señor, nos ofendemos porque no entendemos, como dice aquí, entenderme. No entendemos cómo Dios piensa y cómo Dios trabaja y cómo Dios actúa. Just like I talked with Eunice year after year, I begin to understand her. When we begin to understand God and know His doctrines and know His principles, biblical principles, and know His concepts and know His purity and get to know His power, we get to know who He really is. Cuando empezamos a pretender a Dios, empezamos a comprender quién realmente es Él. He's the one who said, "Let there be light." And He lit the taper, the sun. He's the one that can take a rainbow and weave it into a scarf and throw it over the shoulders of a dying storm. He's the one that has the first and last word in every situation with every nation upon the face of the earth. It's not Joseph Biden that has the last word. It's God that has the last word. It's not Putin that has the last word. It's God that has the last word. And when we begin to understand who He really is, we automatically begin to fall on our knees and reverence the One who has saved us and blesses us and keeps us and protects us. Y cuando nos damos cuenta quién es Él, empezamos a doblar las rodillas porque nos damos cuenta con quién estamos tratando. We begin to see who we are dealing with. We're not just dealing with some priest. We're dealing with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And one day by the blessed, and by His holy name and by His power, we'll see Him face to face. Understandeth me. Are you in the Word every day? Do you pray every day? Do you consult with God every day? Do you pray for your pastor every day? Do you pray for your missionaries every day? Do you pray for all the things that the church does? Oras por tu pastor, oras por tus misioneros, oras por los hermanos de la iglesia. Consultas con Dios. Folks, do we really consult with God? You know, one of my biggest fears is, look, I can preach an orthodox message, but that's not my problem. I want to be able to preach what God lays upon my heart and preach biblically. Not preach what I want to preach. I don't want to go off in a pet peeve preacher. I want to preach what God says in His Word. Do you understand Him? Do you take time for Him? How many times God knocks at the door of our heart and He waits for us patiently, and we don't open the door, we don't understand Him. Y cuántas veces Él toca la puerta de nuestro corazón y con paciencia nos espera, y ahí lo dejamos pendiente. The Lord delights when we understand him. And then he says, knoweth me. They're similar words, but they're completely different. Son palabras semejantes, pero son palabras diferentes. Entenderme y conocerme. Understand me and knoweth me. After several years of dating my wife, the 5th of December of 1970, we got married. El 5 de diciembre de 1970, nos casamos. I was 23 years old and she was 22 years old. I proposed to her preacher and I told her I loved her and that I wanted her to be my wife and I wanted to get old with her. And we've been married 52 years and we're getting old together. Y le dije, me casé a los 23 años de edad, ella tenía 22 años, y le dije que quería hacerme viejito con ella, y sí, nos estamos haciendo viejos juntos. But I understand her better now. But we went off on our honeymoon. Nos fuimos en la luna del miel. We left Greenville, South Carolina, on the way to Atlanta. I had no idea where I was going. I didn't care where I was going. All I knew that I was going was the love of my life. And for the first time, for the first time in my life and the first time in my wife's life, we knew each other. The word know me. We knew each other intimately. Y por la primera vez en la vida, en la palabra conocerme. Nos casamos el 5 de diciembre, nos fuimos la luna del miel, y esa primera noche nos conocimos íntimamente. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you intimately spent one night in prayer seeking God's face? Revival will never come unless we seek the face of God. How many times we pray, Lord, give me your hand in this and give me your hand in that. God has never asked us to seek his hand. He's asked us to seek his face. And how many times we were not hungry. We didn't want to speak to anybody. We were hungry and we missed the holiness of a holy God. When was the last time you missed God? ¿Cuándo fue la última vez que extrañaste a Dios, su presencia, su santidad? When was the last time you shed crocodile tears full of salt running down your tears because you missed God? ¿Cuándo fue la última vez lloraste lágrimas calentitas llenos de sal corriendo sobre tu mejilla porque extrañabas a Dios? Folks, it's not too late. God can save our politicians. Amen. There's nothing impossible with God. Amen. But he's going to do it through his people. Can you imagine if every one of us would just spend 6-7 hours one night pleading with God? Lord, use my pastor. Lord, use our missionaries. Lord, bring back those people that left our church. God, restore them. God, bless them. When was the last time that we just poured out our hearts before the living God and put our prejudices aside and our pet peeves aside and we're just honest with God? We're so full of prejudice that we can't see the naked truth of the Word of God. But when we put all these things aside, the hymn writer penned it well when he said, and all the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Y cuando invertimos tiempo con el Dios verdadero, el Dios eterno, for some reason, when we spend time with Him, people will know that we have been with God. Remember when Moses was up there 40 days and he came down from the mountain, he had to put a veil? Because his face reflected the glory of God. And when you spend time with God, people will know it right away. And three different occasions, I hate to use personal illustrations, because when I studied to be a preacher, they said never use personal illustrations. I don't know how many times I've broken that rule. But I don't know of a better way to show it, to express it to you. I was traveling to different countries preaching, and I was coming off the airplane to get out in El Salvador. Estaba saliendo del avión. And someone tapped me in the back. And I turned around, and it was this gentleman. Y fue un señor que me tocó la espalda. Y yo le dije, ¿cómo te puedo servir? And I said, sir, can I help you? He said, you're a father, aren't you? I said, well, I'm married and have 7 children. He said, no, I'm not talking about that kind of father. Y me dijo, eres un padre, ¿verdad? Y le dije, sí, soy casado, tengo 7 hijos. No, me dijo, no hablo de ese tipo de padre. I said, are you asking me if I'm a priest? He said, yes. I said, how do you know I'm a priest? Y le dije, ¿cómo sabes que soy un sacerdote? He said, there's just something different about you. The way you walk, the way you talk, something about your face. When was the last time someone tapped you in the back? They never saw you before in their lives and said there's something different about you. Something about your character. Something about the way you speak, the way you walk. Something about your personality. There's something different about you. Only when we spend time with God will that transformation will take place. Solamente cuando invertimos tiempo con Dios, esa transformación va a suceder. Folks, God can bring revival to Spruce Pine. Up in the mountains. I'm not talking about Asheville. I'm not talking about Raleigh. I'm not talking about Charlotte. These big centers where a lot of people are. I'm talking about where the people are in the woods. God can shake the woods. People can shake people up. And the fear of God can grip them. If we would just get a hold of God. If we would just seek His face like we never have before. He that understandeth and knoweth me, for these things I desire, saith the Lord. Entenderme y conocerme, porque esas cosas quiero, dice Jehová. I want to challenge you to take time to be holy. Les quiero retar. Toman tiempo para santificar tus vidas. You look at the book of Joshua, el libro de Josué, and how many times he says, sanctify yourselves. In other words, prepare yourselves. Understandeth and knoweth me that I am the Lord. Entenderme y conocerme que yo soy Jehová. His official name is Jehovah God.
Yes, sir.
That's His official name.
Amen.
Understandeth and knoweth me. Entenderme y conocerme. Shall we pray? Vamos a orar. If it's okay with the pastor, I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play Hymn of Invitation. Folks, why don't we just put our pride aside tonight? ¿Por qué no ponemos el orgullo a un lado Shall we stand to our feet? Shall we stand? Why don't we do business with God? Your commitment is not with me. It never has been with me. It's not even with His church. Your commitment is with God. Tu compromiso es con Dios. We have loved ones that are not serving God. We have loved ones that don't even go to church. Why don't we go with God with it? Why don't we go to God with it? He can reach our loved ones. He can reach those that have been offended. He can reach the lost. But we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. You don't have to come down here. You can just fall on your pew, on your knees, and plead with God. And say, Lord, send us revival. Lord, wake us up. Señor, mándanos avivamiento. Señor, despiértanos. God can certainly bring revival to Spruce Pine and to this wonderful church if we would just seek the Lord with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul. When He becomes our priority, things will change and God will visit us like you would not believe. El Señor nos quiere visitar. Nos quiere bendecir, nos quiere proteger y nos quiere sacar adelante. Keep praying. Pastor, will you please come?
Our Father and our God, as we bow our head before You this evening, Father, we're mindful of Your voice coming from Your Spirit through Your Word. Lord, You speak to us. And God, our heart, Father, our desire, our delight, it's in You. And You promised us, delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And Father, when our delight is Your delight.
Amen.
So God, why not? Lord, is it our pride that defeats us? God, is it our unwillingness and our rebellion? God, we come before You, Father, and we ask You, Lord, would You touch us? Lord, would You help us? God, we seek Your face. Lord, we want what You want. God, would You touch Your people? Would You turn our nation? God, would You send revival? Would You send a time of refreshing? God, would You grant it unto us? God, that Your people might rejoice in You, that they might be helped. Father, tonight we love You. We thank You for Your word. And we praise You, Father. God, thank You for the opportunity that You've given us. And I pray for furtherance, that we might understand and that we might know You. And I'm so thankful that the writer in the book of Jeremiah put those as a continual action. That I can always be understanding and knowing more about the Lord as we walk together in our relationship. God, touch us, I pray. Save our lost family members. Bless our enemies, God, I pray. In Jesus' name.